Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Now is the time to trim your lamps and get ready for the coming of the Lord.
Friends, the Lord is coming soon. Are you ready? Join us now for the Midnight Cry broadcast.
Now let's turn this into a personal prayer. That's kind of where I'm going with this. Because it's wonderful to see all the purposes of God and the truth of God and what He has for me and what He wants for me. But we've often referred to the scripture where the word says, you have not because you ask not. See, God's done all of this, but He wants to bring up sons and daughters, not robots. He wants sons and daughters who long to participate and receive and become what He has purposed that we become. He wants us to participate in that. And part of that is praying and asking, recognizing something that God has said is mine and saying, God, I ask for that and I believe you because it is your word. It is your will. I'm not asking something that's outside of your plan for me. Now, yeah, if it gets down to an earthly question, yeah, I need to have wisdom from Him about is this His will or is that. But I know this is His will. There's no question here. I need this. So what would the prayer be? Lord, I pray, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that I may know Him better. I pray that the eyes of my heart may be enlightened in order that I may know the hope to which He has called me, the riches of His glorious inheritance in His holy people. And I'm one of them. Oh, because of His mercy entirely. I can't look in the mirror and find a single reason why I should be a treasure in His eyes. What an awesome God we serve. Praise God. And His incomparably great power for me who believes. That's His power, but it was for me. Now we can pray that for each other too, can't we? Now is there any question about whether what we have just read is God's will for us? So what are we doing sitting around not asking Him for it and not expecting it to happen? Now, I'm certainly not talking about some glorious, something where we have this grand experience, is the word I was looking for, and suddenly we leapfrog into all of this, but there is a process where we need to be asking God, I know what your purpose is, I know where you're taking me. When you get done with me, I'm going to be presented as a full-grown son, and it's going to be all you who have done it. But I'm asking you to bring that process to fruition. Work it in me actively, day by day. I want to know you better. I want to understand more. I want you to change my way of thinking. I want you to do all this stuff that you say so that it becomes mine and I can actually grow up as one of your children and not just blindly blunder through the world and, you know, sort of assert mentally all the stuff I'm supposed to believe. You know, what would it be like if a small child just learned all about being human but never ate anything or never exercised? That's a silly illustration, but it wouldn't make much sense. But we have been born, if we are His, if He has come to reside, we have been born of His Spirit, but now there's a growing process. There's a reason we're here. And it's to grow up to be His children. But I wonder if this is sometimes a missing ingredient. Are we recognizing this is His will? There's no question about it. He's told me that if I ask something that's according to His will, it's as good as done because He's faithful. It's a lot to think about, isn't it? Is this true? Am I just making this up? Is this just fantasy? No, it isn't. And there are a couple of other passages that we can, you know, refresh our memories about where Paul is also praying. Think about chapter 3. You know, Paul wants them, I'll just kind of skim through how he leads into this, but he talks about the fact that God had revealed to him a mystery, something that had been hidden before he came along. And what the mystery was, that God is building a kingdom that's not just for the Jews, it's for Jews and Gentiles. That's what the Old Testament was really about. It was setting up a kingdom that was launched through Jesus Christ. And God's given me the ministry of sharing that truth of what he's doing in the earth. And it's awesome. And he gave me the power to do it. Paul didn't acquire this in school. God just called him and gave him the power and worked in him to give him the ability to do what he did. And it was to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ. Okay? And it talks about the eternal purpose that he accomplished. This is verse 11. All right, according to the eternal purpose, his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus. There's another grammar lesson. What tense is that verb accomplished? It's the past tense. Paul is not looking for and saying, I sure hope he gets this done. He's saying he already did it. Everything necessary to make this happen was already done in Christ. Okay? That's why this thing was so exciting to him. All right? It says, in him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are for your glory. So Paul was having to go through a lot, wasn't he? Right? He was in prison. He had paid a price, but it was worth everything to Paul because of what he was able to do for God's people. Praise God. Now he gets to his second prayer in this book. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches. Now, has he got what he needs? Has he got everything he needs? Is there anything that he lacks? He's God, I'll tell you. All right? Out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power. Again, you have this sense that I need strength. I don't have what it takes to be the person that he wants me to be. Lord, I need strength, don't I? And he's got all that I need. He's not like some power station that's doing all it can, but there's too many, you know, people trying to plug in and it runs out of power. He never runs out. He's always got everything that everybody needs. All right? Is this his will? Is what he's talking about his will? Absolutely it is. All right? That he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit. That's where it comes. God has to literally impart through his own being the strength that's in him. And I need that transferred to me. I need it shared with me. Because I don't have what it takes. There's not a person here who has what it takes to be a Christian. Not what he's talking about in here. Now, you might go to a Christian church and all of that, practice a religion, but to really be his child and grow up, we don't have the first thing that's necessary, but it all comes from him if we're willing and if we want it. See, that's part of what this is all about. How much do we really want this? How much do we really expect? Or do we just muddle along and hope we're sort of in there somewhere? All right, so that strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. That's where I need it, in here. I don't need him just out here telling me what to do. I need him in here giving me the strength because I don't have it. But I have everything I need through him. All right? So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power. Again, that word power. Together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ and to know this love. Again, the word know here is that deep personal sense of I've been there, I've done that, I've experienced, I've walked with him. I know something about him that I didn't get from a book. I got it from knowing him. That's something that God wants every person here to experience. And I'll tell you, we can do that. I'm not talking about some grand experience again. I'm talking about walking with him to the point where we can look back and say, he brought me through that. I was in this difficult place and he brought me through. He was with me all the way. And I can look back and see it. He carried me that one time. I didn't have anything that it took, but here I am. And he was with me, and he showed me his love, and I've experienced something from him I could never have had if I hadn't gone through that. God wants that kind of personal knowledge to be in every one of us, all right? To grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love personally that surpasses knowledge. I need something that goes way beyond just knowing the contents of this book. I got to have his love. I mean, think about it. What he's wanting to do is reproduce a people who are motivated by love. Love is the opposite of selfishness. It's where whatever abilities and gifts God has imparted to me belong to you. And whatever the cost, they belong to you, and they need to be given to you. And God wants my heart to be open. I can't do that unless he comes in and does some major changes. But he brings his love. And as John says in 1 John, we love because he first loved us. See, that's how God's love is complete, is when he reveals it to us and we share it with one another. All right? To know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. I don't know about that. That's just for the special ones. That's for the Pauls and the Peters. And I'll bet you we think like that more than we would dare to say. Oh, we're not quite sure what that means, and how's that going to affect my life. And the devil has so many ways to kind of whisper this and whisper that in our minds. Is this God's will or isn't it? Yeah, I see some heads. This is his will, isn't it? That means it's his will not just for me and a few others. This is his will for you, for every single one of us. He wants us to be filled with all the fullness of God. And I understand this is a process. This is something where we experience him little by little and we grow little by little. I get that part. But God wants us to be filled. We sang songs about that this morning. I want him to fill me, and I want him to become the source of life that's in me. Boy, he's got a job on his hands, but he is up to the job, isn't he? Praise God. But wouldn't it be good if instead of just saying, that's wonderful that Paul prayed that for the people to whom he wrote, but what about me taking that personally and saying, hey, this is God's will. I'm a believer. Why can't I pray this about me? Of course, my brothers and sisters as well. All right? I pray that out of your glory, out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen me with power through his Spirit in my inner being. I need you, Lord. See, that's what's going on. Do we really want him? Are we really reaching out to him? And are we reaching out to him with an expectation? Or are we allowing the devil to kind of undermine our confidence? We're supposed to have confidence that we can come to him. The confidence doesn't come with our qualification. It comes from him. Entirely, 100%. He's the one who invites. Oh, I wonder how many times the Lord is sitting there saying, I've given you everything. Why are you living in such poverty, such spiritual poverty?
The message you have heard is part of a regular church service recorded as it was being ministered. CD and DVD copies of this service in its entirety are available. To assist with postage and processing costs, an offering of $5 is suggested for CDs and $10 for DVDs. Please identify the station over which you have heard this broadcast and provide the broadcast date when ordering. You may also receive our quarterly publication, The Midnight Cry Messenger, which is mailed out free and postage paid to all who request it. Our mailing address is Midnight Cry Ministries, Post Office Box 685, Southern Pines, North Carolina 28388. Or you may choose to visit us on the World Wide Web at www.midnightcry.org.
And now, may God richly bless you until our next broadcast.